Welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Christina Warren. I'm running out of geek slash nerd shirts to wear on TWC9, so I've been forced to wear merch of a failed YouTuber convention. Well, that's only half true. I probably would have worn this Tanacon sweatshirt even if I had more nerd shirts that I hadn't worn on the show. But if you have any nerdy shirt recommendations, it can be your company or startup, please leave me suggestions in the comments. All right, enough pleas for clothing. Let's get into this week's top dev news. First up, I want to give a shout out to, and a reminder to tune in to the Imagine Cup Finals on July 25th. That is next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Channel 9. You can also follow the action on Twitter at MSFTImagine. Imagine Cup is a student competition that takes place every year where student developers are tasked with solving some of the world's toughest challenges. The results are always amazing, so if you want to be awed by some amazing student developers, please tune in. Links to the stream and the Twitter handle are in the show notes. We'll see you next week. Next up in Docs news, this is very cool. The Docs team at Microsoft has expanded its API discovery experience with a new Java API browser. I know Bruno Borges will be excited. Finding the right API documentation can often be more trouble than it should be, especially when multiple versions come into play. That's why this API browser was designed to make the process easier. A couple of highlights from the API browser include tailored API results, so the search terms are executed against only the API index, so you're not going to get irrelevant results. There's also versioning support, so the API supports multiple versions, and you can choose what version of the docs you want to search through. And speed, this was designed to be super fast. You can access the Java API browser by going to docs.microsoft.com/java or by searching in the table of contents in the Java API docs themselves. If you have any feedback for the team, you can let them know on GitHub or on Twitter. In IoT news, Microsoft just announced the public preview of Windows 10 IoT Core Services. Now, this was actually announced at Computex a few weeks ago, and Windows 10 IoT Core Services is designed to help IoT partners better commercialize their solutions. And so IoT Core Services offers 10 years of operating system updates and support and the ability to manage device updates and assess the health of a device. So business and solution integrators can purchase IoT Core Services for 30 cents per device per month. That'll be the price this fall, but in the preview, that price is just 15 cents per device per month. Check out the show notes for more links and information about pricing and features. On Channel 9 this week, Burke is joined by Elijah Manner to talk about NPM in the latest episode of Five Things. And as a person who is constantly trying to solve the NPM versus Yarn debate with my Node projects, I really like this episode. And some amazing Azure news, the Azure Cloud Shell Editor is collaborating with VS Code. Launched at Build 2017, Cloud Shell offers users a cloud-native command line environment from any device, anywhere in the world, from inside the Azure portal. Cloud Shell has had support for lots of text editors from the beginning. Shout out to the Nano fans in the audience! But now it's getting integrated, an integrated graphical editor support. The Cloud Shell team has worked with the Visual Studio Code team to embed the Monaco project, which is the same editor that powers VS Code, directly into Cloud Shell. This is so cool. This is like my favorite news of the week. This brings support for stuff like syntax coloring, auto completion, code snippets, plus an integrated file browser. And to use this in Cloud Shell, just type code. An episode of Azure Friday, links are in the show notes, show off all of this awesome. Honestly, this is so great, and it brings us one step closer to my dream of a fully cloud-based edition of VS Code. Because, like, how great would that be? Speaking of the Monaco project, Code Sandbox, which is an online web editor that uses the Monaco project as its engine, now supports themes. So you can install your own custom themes, but it also comes with some pre-installed options, including Night Owl from my friend and fellow CDA, Sarah Drasner. Projects like Code Sandbox are why I love open source, and this is a great update, so congrats, team, on this. Speaking of VS Code, my pal and DevOps extraordinaire, Donovan Brown, has a new blog post about how to load PowerShell types into VS Code to get rid of those ugly red squiggles while using PowerShell types provided by ships. So this is an awesome tip. Check it out in the show notes. In some other Azure news, the Azure Security Center is now integrated into the subscription experience. And this will make it even easier to secure your resources within Azure. So check out the show notes for links in the blog post and documentation. In some Visual Studio news, the Visual Studio IntelliCode extension has been updated to enable coding convention interference for C#. And this was a feature first announced at Build 2018, and it'll help devs create more readable and consistent code. Check out the show notes for a blog about how to get started with this feature. In some other C# adjacent news, the Xamarin team has just announced Xamarin Forms 3.1, which adds some enhancements and updates to the Xamarin Forms 3.0 release, which debuted at Build. Now, these updates include bottom tabs in Android, which follows Google's design recommendations, and there's some other features too. And so you can update the latest version of Xamarin Forms now from the Visual Studio NuGet Package Manager. Earlier this week on Twitter, I went on a screed begging my custom domain email provider, whose service I'm grandfathered into not paying for, to never start charging me. And seriously, don't ever start. Lest I be faced with paying either obscene amounts of money for a custom domain email or having to manage my own mail server. And like I said on Twitter, no sentence is more terrifying in 2018 than manage your own mail server. I shudder even thinking about it. Fortunately, if the worst happens, I think I have a solution thanks to Gabriel Nepomuceno, a Microsoft technical evangelist in London. And Gabriel put together a blog post at my behest, thanks Gabriel, showing off how easy it is to configure personal mail with Mailgun and Azure DNS. And Gabriel's instructions only show how to receive mail. He says that it's easy to modify his setup to include sending mail too, and he'll do a follow-up blog post. But the process of getting started is really easy to do, and once configured, will cost less than $1 a month if you don't exceed 10,000 inbound messages. And if you go beyond that, it's still very inexpensive. So Gabriel, thank you for this awesome tutorial. And now it's time for my pick of the week. This is so great. All right, so June 24th, 2018 was the 20th anniversary of Windows 98. I'm honestly so upset that I didn't realize that and celebrate that fact here on TWC9. Fun fact, baby Christina begged her mother to take her to the Windows 98 satellite launch event at the Cobb Galleria in Atlanta, Georgia. Yep, even then, I was such a nerd. I think the t-shirt from that event still exists in my parents' basement, and if I can find it, I should totally wear it. But in honor of this anniversary, YouTuber Shelby Juden built a Windows 1998-era gaming PC using all brand new sealed inbox parts from that era. So that means the hard drive, the RAM, the case, the graphics card, everything except the power supply, for obvious reasons, was from the late 90s, and all of it's still sealed in box. I found this video via my Gizmodo friend and frequent Pick of the Week curator, Andrew Lazuski, and if you love retro computing, even if it feels gross to say that Windows 98 is retro, you should definitely check this out. I first started upgrading and building PCs around 1997 and 1998, and man, I do not miss the days of having to configure IRQs. Also this week, Slackware, the Linux distribution that taught me Linux, is 20 years ago, that's how long it's been. It just turned 25. And so for all the links to everything I mentioned, please check out the show notes in the description. If you like this video, please subscribe to our channel and like our video. Masochists can turn on post notifications, and don't forget to share your best geek shirt picks, women's options please, with me in the comments. See you next week.